Today we are in the book of Mark. If you have a Bible handy, open up your Bible to Mark 1 or your Bible app. That's the way I do it. Mark 1, and we will be looking at verses 21 through 28. They went to Capernaum. When the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Just then, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? What have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirit, and they obey him." At once, his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Gotta hit it twice sometimes. I came to ministry late. Some people ask why I look so old and haggard. It's because for 10 years before I went into pastoral ministry, I did camping and youth ministry. And you live at fast forward much of the time. And one of the first things that I had to learn is how hard it is to get children's attention. And I tried yelling, I tried putting up my hand, I tried jumping up and down. And then one day, I hit on something that worked really, really well, and I don't know what possessed me to do it. Everybody was talking, no one was listening, and I just simply said,
"Excuse me, has anybody seen Miss Piggy?"
And the kids got really, really quiet. I said,
"She was here a minute ago, and now she's gone, and I don't know where she went."
And they looked at me, and I realized I had their attention. So I began to work on some of the other voices. And I learned that even children love to count. And then my favorite one
was Elmo, little Elmo.
And I couldn't do it very well, and I started reading about the character and the man who did it. If you've ever seen the man who does Elmo, he's a gigantic dude. And he did the voice on a dare, because he originally did the voice by sucking on a helium balloon. And if you think about Elmo's voice, that kind of works, doesn't it? And the dare was, can you talk like Elmo without a helium balloon? And lo and behold, this guy could do it. And he became the voice of Elmo. These things come out of nowhere. How is it that you do what you do? How is it that you find that way? And some people say, well, it's just strange coincidence. C.S. Lewis called it serendipity, and he says it's God's way of making sure that everything doesn't happen all at once. See, when we get to scriptures like the one that we had today, it doesn't make sense. Got to be honest, I don't like preaching about stuff like the Holy Spirit, because I don't really understand it. You know, you really can't see the Holy Spirit. You can't find it. You can't look at it. You can't test it. You can't define it. But when the Holy Spirit moves, you know it, don't you? Because something happens that you didn't see coming, that you didn't make happen. I am thankful that there are still jokes that are okay to tell, and one of the ways that you can have a joke that's okay to tell is you tell it on yourself. And there's a gentleman named Jeff Allen. He was talking about, he wasn't much of an outdoorsman. And he was talking about he had a bunch of trees to cut. So he got himself a chainsaw. And he said, with one of these, you can take a tree down in like 5-10 minutes. No problem at all. So he took it and he says, you know, I worked on this thing for 4 hours and I could not get that tree to go down no matter how hard I tried. And the guy went, well, that's really strange. And he checked the fuel and he checked the chain and he pulled the starter thing and it roared to life. And he said, what's that? We forget that the Holy Spirit has a different agenda than the rest of us. It has a depth of power. It has a skill set that we can't understand and we can't control. And I think that is what makes it hard, because we don't have the right understanding. We don't even have the right vocabulary. One of the things that I struggle with as a pastor is lots and lots of people describe themselves as spiritual but not religious. And I think what it comes down to is people don't know what words mean. Read this scripture lesson. There was a man with an unclean spirit that cried out, what do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. The most spiritual character in this story is this guy with a demonic possession. He has a spirit that knew Jesus from way back. He obviously had encountered him before. The most spiritual person in the story is demonic. But to be fair, I don't think the people out there who say that they're spiritual, not religious, are open to just any spirit, but they don't have the vocabulary. They don't understand what they really want. See, what they want to seek is holiness, not spirituality. Holiness is the goal. Spirits can lead you in the wrong way. The spirit of discouragement, spirit of envy, spirit of resentment. Spirit isn't necessarily a good thing. Particular kinds of spirits are. So we look at these people who are spiritual, not religious, and then we talk to them and we find out that the majority of them pray on at least a monthly basis. Well, do you know what religion is? Practicing your faith. So if they are practicing their faith by praying, these spiritual but not religious people are not only seeking holiness, but they're practicing religion. They're actually religious, they just don't know what the word religious means. So what do we do with that? See, when Jesus comes in, he tells the spirit to be silent and come out of him. And everyone was amazed and they said, what is this new teaching with authority? Because it's not only that Jesus said it, but Jesus believed it. Jesus was it. He was the word that they were proclaiming. And there he stood right in front of them. Well, the problem is that we think of the Holy Spirit with earthly brains. And I've said, I had a professor at Duke, his name was Jeffrey Wainwright. He wrote books that I still don't quite understand yet. Brilliant man, but he said, please understand that every denomination is a little bit divine and a little bit fallen, because it's human beings trying to act out a divine calling. Well, as we try to work with this Holy Spirit, we try to do it with human brains. And we reach out and we say, Lord, I have surgery coming up. Take care of me. Take care of the surgeons. Help me recover. Help me get strong. Help me come out the other side. And yet sometimes people pray that and it doesn't happen. Why? Because the one with authority is not us, but the Holy Spirit. One of the things that we struggle with as pastors is people tend to think of God as Santa Claus, and if they don't get what they wish for, then what good is God anyway? Well, you haven't encountered God on the right level. You haven't engaged God in the way that he works. People say, well, God never answers my prayers. Well, I have some thoughts for you in regard to that. One of the things I was struck with this week is that we should want things that other people have, but we shouldn't covet them. Do you know the difference between wanting and desiring and coveting? I'll be very earthly about this. I can want a brand new Chevy Silverado 3500 4x4 extended cab high country pickup. And there's nothing wrong with me wanting that. But if I resent you because you have one and I don't, that's coveting. Because my desire for it causes me to dislike or separate myself from you. Make sense? I bet you if you ask the Holy Spirit to stop you from coveting, you might be surprised at how different the Holy Spirit works. One of the teachers that I follow, John Ricardo, says, if you want to have your prayer answered today, you want definite experience of the Holy Spirit moving in your life, pray, Holy Spirit, come convict me of the things that are in your way. You'll get an answer to prayer. You might not like it. It might not be warm and fuzzy, but God will answer your prayer. Pray how you can be a blessing to others. Pray to the Holy Spirit to make you more compassionate. Pray for the oppressed. Pray for your church. Pray to live a life of thanksgiving. And pray that the Holy Spirit might use you to carry out his purpose. All of a sudden, I think you'll find your prayers are answered. Not in the way you would have laid them out, not in the way that you would have thought, but in a very different way. I came across a story this week, and I think I'm going to close with it. It was a young woman from San Francisco, California, who was she was to the left of liberals. She was like off the far end of the spectrum. And she had an animosity to anybody who was on the right. And she was struggling because she wanted to do some things in prison reform. And she realized that everybody on her side already agreed with her. And the only way she was going to get anything done was to reach out and listen to the people on the other side. She isn't a Christian. She's actually a Hindu, but I think the Holy Spirit messed with her. Because he sent her to Newt Gingrich. And as she laid out her hit list of the things that were wrong with the prison system, she found that Newt Gingrich agreed with several of them. And that as Newt Gingrich agreed with some of them, they found a plan, an action plan to move forward for prison reform by getting both sides together in the middle. This was a year or so ago, but I don't think we've gotten any less polarized in the times that have passed. And I think the Holy Spirit is saying, if you want to get something done, you've got to reach out. And the scripture says, aren't even pagans kind to those who are kind to them? What does that profit you? But if we can reach out to the other side, do it in humility, not treat them like an enemy, think of them compassionately, and pray for the Holy Spirit to move in a way that will bring about real change. I think we'll find ourselves walking in places that we didn't find ourselves in our plan, but will be part of God's plan. See, I think those that oppose us aren't our enemies, but are our mission field. And I think that's what the Holy Spirit is calling us to do. And when we do that, I think we'll stand out and people will say, no, there's something different about them. They're not like all those others over there. And maybe we'll be allowed to tell them what makes us different. And that his name is Jesus. Could you pray with me? Almighty God, as we come before you today, we admit that we don't understand the workings of the Holy Spirit. We ask the Holy Spirit for things, but we don't offer ourselves as part of the plan. We see the world in earthly terms and are stunned when you do not. Even as you silence the demon in Gethsemane. Even as you silenced the demon in Galilee. We see you do things that don't make sense to us and that we can't understand. Help us understand that understanding isn't the goal. Faithfulness is the goal. Help us to offer ourselves as part of your plan to let your Holy Spirit move in our lives and help us to see the world through your eyes. We ask all these things in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.